and welcome back to the Connection Podcast. I'm Javier.
I'm Sage.
And I'm Danielle.
And we are here for a special anniversary edition. As we've said, all month long, July is Connect Global's anniversary. We're celebrating 11 years. But we're also celebrating our 16th wedding anniversary.
Yep.
So just a couple of days ago, July 23rd is our anniversary. So we just thought it would be fun and special to kind of share some, you know, just a little bit of a fun episode. You hear us talk a lot about how relationships matter. Communication is obviously one of the strong points of our marriage, also of communicating Connect Global, the vision, the mission, everything that we've been doing. So we thought we'd have a little bit of fun with communication. Many of you have been on a mission trip with us before. I know you have been on many mission trips with us.
Been with us.
Yeah, I'm with them. So there's also a fun part of mission trips. Sometimes it's very serious, but we do it every time. We have a sort of a debriefing after each of our days of work and community service and the things that we're doing on a mission trip. We find that it's best to come back together, talk, communicate, maybe open up about some of the things that impacted each of the team members in any single day. And what we found that works really, really well over the years has not just been to say, hey, open up, let's communicate, let's talk about this. What we like to say is that we, you know, sometimes get the best communication with a little bit of prompting. Sometimes it takes a question or just sort of takes something that we've noticed about someone in the day. And so we'll start that way. So we've done a little bit of a fun kind of setup here where we have some questions in front of us. And so we'll kind of take turns answering some fun questions and some things that might probe us into a greater conversation. But anyway, it's just something that we always find fun and enjoyable as a family to kind of hang out and, you know, just ask each other silly questions, serious questions, questions that make us think and kind of look towards the future and even, you know, look backwards. But so anyways, without further ado, we'll jump in.
Well, you might notice we have a special guest today on the episode, which is our wonderful and amazing daughter, Sage. So Sage, thank you for being a part of this.
Oh, no problem. It's a really easy choice. I'm just in that room back there.
Well, it's awesome because Sage normally is actually keeping our other special guest that you might have seen already, Piper, squared away while we're recording these episodes. But we wanted to do one all together today as a family. And so not only do we have the special guest of having Sage on with us, but we also, you may see Piper make an appearance from time to time, or you may hear her. But, you know, it's a fun family episode, so here it is.
Yes.
So who wants to be brave enough and take the first question?
Not me.
Danielle, you have to.
Okay, I'm going to read it, so that means I don't have to answer first. Mm-mm-mm. So that's the genius.
No. We didn't go through the ground rules. We're all answering questions.
Okay, so this says, what song would you sing at karaoke?
Let it go. Frozen. That's a true story, actually. On one of the trips to Honduras, of course, one of the last very unwinding days of a trip 1 year, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
They had a special karaoke at the hotel that we got to stay at. Sort of a, I don't know if it was impromptu or something they do all the time. But I happened to draw or maybe pick. I think Seiji. No, Seiji picked.
Yeah.
I think I said I would do it, but then Sage said, I think at the time Frozen was super popular.
Yeah.
And so that was the song that got picked for me. But I think I nailed it.
Oh, yeah. You totally nailed it. And it doesn't really matter what song I'm singing at karaoke. Everyone just wants it to stop because I can't sing at all. So no song sung at karaoke is the best song sung for me.
I also can do
and
a nice...
And just nod her head, yes.
No.
So. I also do a nice rendition of Johnny Cash songs. So in case you're booking a karaoke party, keep that in mind.
Yes. Okay, who wants to read the next question?
Okay, I'll read one. Have you ever been conned? So I think this one is actually best for Danielle.
I did not know I was going to get
and then
that
maybe
question,
I'll share,
but
maybe
I knew
I'll
you
share
were going to say that once it was asked.
Whoops, sorry.
That describes this perfectly. He throws things just on the floor. I have things nicely and neatly prepared.
Exactly. So, this is how our brains work, too.
I was conned recently. It's a little bit of an embarrassing story. But sometimes just being pure of heart and believing the best in people is not the best policy. And so we were out in Manhattan, and we wanted to get some coffee. So we were near one of our little favorite coffee shops down in the Chelsea area. And there was a kid that was saying he was selling Oreos. You know, they were packaged, individually packaged, so everything seemed kosher and clean. And he was raising money for his school's basketball team, I think it was. And so, you know, we don't carry cash. I mean, most places we've ever lived, it just isn't a good safety idea just to have cash on you. But also, you know, we are in 2022 at this point, so we don't carry cash. Anyways, we couldn't make a donation to him because we didn't have cash. But I don't know if I came up with the genius idea or if the kid did. But somehow one of us were, I think it was even me, that said, well, do you have cash app?
Yeah, you offered it up.
Yeah, do you have cash app? And his eyes lit up, and he's like, I do have Cash App. And so I said, okay, well, what's your name, and how can I put it in and send you some money that way? And he said, well, it's kind of long. And I said, okay. So I hand him my phone.
That was the first big mistake.
But he thought that we looked like a generous family, and so he sent himself $500. And then proceeded to run off, and we never saw him again. Thankfully, because I fully believe because Javier was with me, he did not steal my phone. I think if Javier would not have been with me, I would not have seen my phone again either. But thankfully, he did hand me back my phone before he bolted off. I then realized he sent himself $500. And thankfully, Cash App said, this seems unusual. Are you sure you want to do this? And the money was not transferred. But lesson learned on that one.
And it's funny because we actually had an opportunity to, pretty much right after that, share that funny story with a few friends. And so about a week later or a couple of weeks after that, one of those friends, Chuck, if you're listening, or someone that knows Chuck, he sent me a little posting that he had come across on the web. That literally said, if you come across this scam, please beware, and basically described that scenario to a T. So he thought it was pretty funny because then he's getting this sort of alert on his phone. And so it's kind of funny because it re-solidified the humor in the story, but also the truth in it. I mean, it literally happened. You couldn't make it up, and it was a genuinely perfect example of Danielle wanting to do something nice and good. And you know, she even asked all the questions about what's your team name, what school do you go to. I think she was trying to do her due diligence, asked, you know, what age group he was in. And he had answers for all the questions, which is even more hilarious. He rattled off all the answers and all the things. So I think Danielle and all of us really kind of just felt like, okay, this seems okay.
Yeah.
And then, like,
we're used to people asking us for money, so.
Exactly. It didn't seem out of the ordinary, so. But anyways, lesson learned. That was a funny one.
That was a good one. All right, Sage, it's your turn to read a question.
Okay. What's the poorest you've ever been?
Well, I think the poorest I've ever been is to the point where you didn't really know you were poor. I think it's evident that when you literally don't know how much money you don't have, that's pretty out there.
Are you saying that, like, theoretically or personally?
No, personally, for me.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's part of the deal of growing up. My parents did an amazing job. They did an amazing, like, created a life for us that was very generous, very nice, supportive, kind. But I know they had to work for every penny that they made. And some seasons, it just wasn't there. You know, they would be working their tails off. And, you know, just certain circumstances, things that were going on in our life. Looking back now as a father, as someone who, you know, especially does the work that we do, recognizing the signs and seeing the things that we just were like, I was oblivious to because they did such a good job of insulating us from, I guess, the things, the challenges that they were facing, which is a nice, you know, sort of parenting move. But looking back now, I'm able to recognize and see that there were definitely some challenging seasons there. You know, we were often the recipients of community care and community service type work and donations, especially around the holidays, and getting to a place where it's like, okay, this is just sort of the upbringing that I came from. And I think in a way, recognizing and realizing that so many people have challenges and opportunities, that we have opportunities to meet those challenges.
Yeah.
So I think that was what that really taught me. But I definitely know that there were times in which, you know, we just didn't have the money for the new shoes for the new school year, or we didn't have the money for certain sports or things that we wanted to do or whatever. But it wasn't because a lack of working hard. And I think that's what that taught me and still teaches me today, you know, and doing the work through Connect Global, is some people can work their tails off. They can work multiple hours a day. My parents always had multiple jobs between each of them. And there's just certain circumstances and certain, you know, scenarios in which people just can't get ahead. And yeah. So I think that's what it gave me the most, I guess, practical way of looking at it, was understanding that poverty is a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you act poor, you know, no matter how much money you have in the bank, poverty can still be a mindset that you hold on to. But that true productivity and true moving the needle forward and just sort of coming into, I guess, wealth takes a shift in that mindset, a shift yeah. in your paradigm and how you think and look at things and how you look at money. And to me, now how I think about it is that money is just gas. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, it's a tool that we can use to get to something else or to mm-hmm. do something else. But it's never been, you know, it's not the main thing. Time mm-hmm. has always been my biggest resource and yeah. my, the thing that I try and hold on to and love to cultivate with other people and with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because time is something you can never get back.
Yeah.
But we can find multiple different ways to make money. We can
yeah,
go and get
exactly.
money, and we can save money, and we can let, you know, not crypto, but, you know, there's other
Our
ways.
Crypto account is taking a bath. That's the famous sure. little comment we're making around here these days.
I don't know
it's
who else.
Taking another bath. So our crypto account is very clean at this point.
Yeah, I don't know who else can can resonate with that. But like I said, being so poor that you don't really understand or realize or think about it.
Yeah.
But also being raised in a way in which that was never the focus. You know, the focus was always on time with each other. You know, even in the midst of my parents working so many jobs, sometimes I just went to those jobs with them.
Yeah.
You know, in order to be able to spend time with them, they really still recognized that we were, you know, in need of that time. So I think poverty is a mindset, so it's kind of hard to pin down.
Yeah. And I think the, like your parents taking you to work with them, probably because it was a necessity.
Oh, yeah.
Is something we have incorporated in our family over the years, where we've made sure one way or another that Sage would be incorporated into our work. So even when I've worked outside of Connect Global, the various jobs and things, I've always pushed to have days where she could come with me. I was on staff at a church, and she was able to go up there with me when she was a baby, and so that was awesome. And then even with my asset management and real estate career, there's been times where she's been able to come and participate and see what I, you know, what I would do on a daily basis, which has been really cool. But a lot has been incorporated with bringing her into the work of Connect Global. And she's very much a partner in all of this. She's always just worked alongside
yes.
us. And
we
the girl has
it.
Built aquaponic systems. She has literally mixed concrete and poured concrete floors.
And we're talking mixing by hand. I know some
yeah.
of you know what that's like, but many of you do not.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
a hard job,
that's
right?
That's a really hard job. I wasn't on that trip. I was working here in the States at the time, and they were leading the trip. And I was getting photos and videos of her mixing and pouring concrete in flip-flops. So
that's like, the national.
So
that's,
if you see any weird pictures like that, you know mom wasn't on one of those trips.
Yeah. I packed for her. We packed for ourselves. But that's sort of the ability to just sort of do it in whatever you got
yeah.
and with whatever you got.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have anything that you would want to share about all of your experiences working to build Connect Global?
I mean, it's just a cool thing.
I don't know. Do you like it? Do you appreciate it? Is it hard?
On some days it's hard, but it always gets better.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. Next one.
Whose turn is it to read? I don't remember now.
Yeah.
I think it's one of your turns.
It's your turn.
My turn. I'll do it.
Go for it.
Okay. This one's a fun one. What fear have you outgrown?
Ooh. I think I have recently outgrown the fear of failing.
Wow. Nice. Yeah.
Because I don't think that there's real, I think there's real failure that you could have within your family.
Yeah.
But I think outside of that, there shouldn't be a real feel of failure. I think if you're actually pursuing something that is meaningful to you and you're building a life that, looks like something that you can be proud of, then I don't think there's failure that's associated with that. And I think I used to be much more heavily weighted on the side of perfection and wanting everything to be a very specific way and measure success in a very specific and narrow way. And I feel like very slowly I've come out of that and don't as much have a fear of failure anymore.
That's a good one. Seiji?
Maybe flying. Maybe.
Yeah. But you have it, or you've outgrown the fear of flying?
I've outgrown it maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What am I thinking about?
We'll come back to you, but that's kind of good because you have to fly a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that to me, for both of you guys at different times, I think has come up. Because I know, Danielle, you were a flight attendant for a short time.
Yeah.
And so you flew a lot.
Yeah.
And you said that you never really had any kind of anxiousness, any fear over it. And then I seem to remember a flight one time, and it wasn't even bouncy or turbulent or anything weird.
Mm-hmm.
It was just something that clicked. And then all of a sudden you had super anxiety about it.
Oh, yeah.
And then now...
It was really weird because I was even a flight attendant. Like, that was my job for a period of time. Before Sage was on the scene, and I had never had any fear associated with flying ever as a child or as someone employed to do such. But it was really interesting. There was about a year, I guess maybe four or five years ago. I know it wasn't too long ago.
Yeah.
But where that just totally shifted, and I had a lot of fear with flying, and was like literally trying to decide if like a 23-hour drive could be like sold as feasible to the family because I just didn't want to get on a plane that much.
Yeah, for sure.
Which was really out of character for me. But yeah, it was a wild time, but I'm very thankful to report I have come out of that and have flown many times since then again and have not had that level of anxiety associated with it. So
that's good. I think for me, I don't know, it seems funny to say this because I still don't like spiders.
Yeah, you have not outgrown that.
I have because if you show me or say that there's a spider near you, who comes for it?
Me.
Not every time. No, no, no.
Oh, come on.
I'll do it now because, especially once Sage was on the scene, I remember one time you got bit by a little hornet and was very traumatic and very heartbreaking. And so to me, I felt like, okay, it's more fearful for me for something to hurt either of you than for me. So I think to me, I take more fears head on now.
Yeah.
Because to me, I'm like, okay, the bigger fear would be hurting you, the loss or anything that would be like pain or something like that. So to me, the fear of me going through that is not as great.
Yeah.
So to me, I think it's funny because I still don't like little crawling insects. I don't like flying insects that can sting, but I'm not so much worried about them hurting me as you guys or anyone else.
Do you remember that like tarantula that snuck up on me when I was line drying our clothes in Honduras?
I do remember that.
And that one was like a heart attack for me
because
I can deal with spiders, but this was like in a league of its own.
Yes, I remember that. We were both there. And you alerted me to that, and we tried to dispose of that ethically.
That one's one for the books.
And then there was another one, though, in Haiti. I got
I wasn't there for that one.
To go to Haiti maybe two or three times. And on one of those trips, we were staying at the pastor's home. No electricity. We had a kerosene lamp that kind of dimly lit the room so that you could see your way to the restroom or just sort of have that after hours. And I remember getting up in the middle of the night, one of the nights, and saw a spider the size of a newborn puppy. I mean, and I know some people may think I'm exaggerating, but I'm telling you, that thing was bigger than my hand.
If you go to Haiti with us, he'll show you.
Yeah. And I still remember the fear and the anxiety that I felt seeing that thing in our room.
Oh my gosh.
But not being able to really do anything about it. And so then the next morning...
We were safe at home.
So the next morning, I remember talking to the pastor that was hosting us and telling him, like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know, you know, what happened. But last night there was a huge spider in our room. I couldn't really do anything about it. And I just remember not sleeping for the rest of the night, imagining that thing crawling towards my little cot there. And he said, oh, don't worry, brother. My wife killed it for you. And so I always think that that's so funny because it's like such a fear for me and it has always been.
But his wife took care of it
but,
for you.
Yeah, but his wife took care of it, which is what Sagey's alluding to is my wife will usually take care of them here as well.
Not but if it's the size of a puppy. I'm just going to move.
There's different sizes. Yeah. So I don't know that I've fully outgrown it, but I can take it on a little bit more so now.
What are you going to say?
And speaking of other weird things, one time in Honduras, we also found like a little snake in our backyard.
Yep.
So that was
the crawling critters for me have always been anxiety driving.
Well, and I feel like the snake and like the spiders and all of that are like creepier there in Honduras because we didn't have the weather stripping on our doors.
Oh yeah.
So whatever was outside, we just let it slip like right inside. So I think we were a little bit more apprehensive with that stuff over there.
Oh, we also had a beehive in our backyard as well.
Yeah. But
we killed it multiple times.
Jorge gave me the confidence on that one.
Yeah.
Because I've seen him destroy a few hornet and beehive type nests.
Yeah.
So he gave me some confidence to get that one done.
Some pointers.
Yeah, and some pointers. Yeah. He was just like, go for it. Just do it. So, yeah.
That's
the
awesome.
flying critters and crawling critters are no bueno.
No, no bueno. Okay. What's the most embarrassing lie you've told?
Well.
Seems like something's coming to mind.
I have one that I'll tell very fast.
Okay.
Because
okay.
It's super embarrassing and weird.
Well, I think I know which one it is.
But there's been...
Wait, is there more than one that you're thinking of?
I'm thinking about the one that I think he's about to say.
Okay.
But what, and that makes me nervous because now there's probably more than one. But there's a funny thing that we joke about that's just ridiculous. But I remember being at a church service one time. And, you know, the church service starts out. There's songs that you sing together, and it was a new church for us, a little bit, you know, in the front end of visiting this church in Texas at one point. And so then you go through the process. You have, you know, a little bit of song, someone comes up and gives an announcement. You know, many of you guys know that there's a template to church for the most part. And so right after the you know, sort of information or announcement portion, often the speaker that's up at the front will say, okay, now turn to your neighbor, meet some people, introduce yourselves and this and that, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what came over me, but something was just funny about the moment. So I turned to one side and introduced myself. And I think the person says, okay, hi, I'm Chris. And I say, I'm Javier. So I literally just do an about face and turn to the next person and say, I'm Chris. And then the person says, oh, I'm Jason. And so it was just funny because in the moment, it's like, obviously, I don't know what came over me because that's not my name. But it was
and
just
now the guy Chris is like.
Yeah. So then I see the guy who just gave me the name Chris look at me. So then it was like a huge ordeal. So it's just something ridiculous. So it wasn't exactly a lie.
It wasn't on purpose.
It wasn't on purpose, but that was a funny just story.
Another one I was thinking of that you told me about, I wasn't there for, but you just got mixed up with your math. And so you were saying something about, how old you were and how long we've been married.
Right.
And you
were the just, math did not add
the
up.
The math did not add up.
I would have had to have been married at like 12 and, you know, it just doesn't work out with the math.
Yeah.
So I remember that one was an accidental sort of like misinformation.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the only two times and it wasn't on purpose and easily rectified. But it's just funny that to think about like when your words get mixed up.
Exactly.
And so that's what we're talking about too with communication.
Right.
Communication is for sure, a lot of it is nonverbal, but what is verbalized is important.
Yeah.
So I think that's the funny thing about lies or half-truths or just sort of coming into a conversation of like, okay, I don't have all the answers or I don't have all the information or I have the wrong information or gave the wrong information. I think it's important to obviously be able to correct that, but
for sure.
I think it's funny. I think it's hilarious. It was probably 10 or more years ago. I think it was actually before Sage.
Yeah,
so probably more like 12 years ago, 13 years ago. But anyways, funny,
all right,
funny
Sage,
stuff.
Sage, read the next one.
Let's see. Which one of the world's problems would you most want to solve?
Sage, which one would you most want to solve?
Hunger, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a big one. In I think the last episode or so, we talked about clean water, the importance of that. I think it's difficult to see countries and whole nations around the world deal with both food and water shortages. There's famine that are happening. There's droughts that exist, you know, around the world. And so I think those are the hard ones to watch because those are super solvable. You know, I think that's, you know, like the, you know, that we would most like to solve. These are things that are very solvable, things that are very simple.
With
in
just
their,
the wealth from our country alone, we could solve the world's poverty issues immediately.
Yeah, there's a lot of systemic things that are going on around the world that would be easily solved, but food and water are pretty tough.
I think for me it would be hopelessness. I don't know if people recognize that as a problem in the world or the one of the world's biggest problems, but I feel like with more of the life experiences we've had and the travel we've had and the places we've lived, you can always find hopelessness. Sometimes it's in heavier doses than others, but it has such a huge impact on the world, and I think that's why we see really hard things with mass shootings and domestic violence and
suicide rates.
Yeah, suicide
even among
rates.
Teens and children.
Right, all of those things. So if there was one I could actually solve, it would be hopelessness.
Yeah.
I think that would make all the difference.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay,
right.
Me next. Ooh, what's the ugliest part of getting old? You tell me, guys. I don't know anyone else at this table that can answer that.
You think we're the best suited to answer that
no,
at this
I said
table?
There's no one else at this table except for me.
Well, I don't know if it has to do with getting older. I don't think I would say I'm old.
Never.
But I do have like a really weird, like my body sounds like popcorn in the morning when I wake up and start moving around. It's like a crazy crackle and I don't, it's just weird. But
for sure.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with getting older.
Mm-hmm.
Sage, you're
anything
so young.
For you? I mean, you're still older than you were.
Yeah.
Maybe like every year you get, you also lose a year kind of thing.
Yeah, wow, it's really
That's
deep.
Pretty deep. Yeah, I think to me, along those lines, I mean, I think you are become more aware of the time you're losing, you know, and the time, maybe not that you've lost, because, I mean, loss is also like, you know, it counted, you know, it was there, we did it, we existed, we did those things together, but then you're also more acutely aware of maybe the time that's remaining, or you get to become more aware of, you know, the importance of time.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I think also just the, you know, when you're 18 or 20 and can run around and do all the things that you, you know, are just take for granted, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you're saying, like, you know, in the morning, it's like you kind of wake up, and if you pick the wrong pillow, it's kind of like, oh,
game
boy,
over.
Game over.
Yeah.
You got another 24 hours to recover.
I always pick the wrong pillow. I cannot pick a pillow at this point. So if anyone wants to give suggestions, I will gladly take them.
And they have name tags on their pillows as well.
Yeah,
so that's somehow they still get mixed up.
That's something that as I've aged, I instituted. And when I find a pillow that kind of works for me, I will write my name. I had Sage write my name on the tag of this pillow that I have now. But the funny thing is that Danielle will actually, she's a thief of pillows, even in the middle of the night. So even if you're already on the pillow, there's a chance that if you get up to go to the bathroom or even if you turn to go the other direction, she'll snag the pillow. So I kind of have to hold
on
to it.
I've been told I do this.
She says that she's not responsible for anything that happens during sleeping hours. So to me, I think, you know, the pulling of the blanket, the stealing of the pillow from underneath your head, those are, you know,
these are all allegations that have not been proven.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see what happens.
All right, here we go.
You said next question.
Next question.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Okay, what would be one good thing about being the opposite sex?
Well, that's a tough one, given the political atmosphere.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll say for me, I think I'm... people tell me I'm a very direct and blunt person, and I feel like in our society that's more often accepted from men. So I guess that could be one benefit if I was a man, then just my natural personality would be more welcomed, possibly. Anything for you?
I don't know, maybe being taller.
Yeah.
On average.
Typically
yeah.
Taller. I like
that. Not all of us have that advantage. But yeah, that is a similar thing.
Nice. And you're just...
accessorizing.
Yeah.
Being able to just...
or yeah. Being able to not have to accessorize.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
But yeah, I love... I am pro-female. I love my two girls, and I... I'm grateful for them, and so I'm aware of the struggle and the challenge that face mm-hmm. girls and women, and so I'm very, what's the word, sympathetic, maybe, and empathetic, because I, you know, have these two to help me understand it even better, but even remembering the challenges and knowing the things, the story that my mom had,
mm-hmm.
Being raised by my mom and my sister, you know, being quite a bit older. Don't tell her that. Being 10 years older
she's
than I am.
She's
listening to this. Gina, I love you. She's 10 years older than me, though, so she did have a lot of responsibility in helping, you know, raising me and helping me grow. So I think to me, the appreciation mm-hmm. for the fairer sex
yeah.
Began a long time ago. And then, of course, has been solidified by having these two bomb boss aww. Babes and females in my life.
Thank you.
As far as the struggles go and the apparent inequalities, I think that that's a funny question, a tough question, because
yeah.
I would love to be in these two shoes, but not many others.
And not really.
And not really, because, I mean, we've talked about it before. I mean, there's... a whole host of things that you deal with, put up with, that girls have to go through life with, that I would not be necessarily willing to just sign up for. So
yeah.
I love you both.
We love you.
And our dog is a girl too, so.
Yes. There's a lot of strong female power in this house. And so it definitely takes 100%.
Oh, yeah. So what do you guys think? Are we going to end on this last question?
Okay, let's do one more good one.
Oh, this is a good one.
Oh, yeah, this
who's
is great.
Who's the quirkiest person in the room?
Who are y'all pointing at? Me?
I'm just pointing at anyone else other than myself.
Who are Don't you? Look at me.
I think quirkiness is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think any of us are quirky.
You don't think so?
Not in like a weird way.
Yeah.
Like a bad way.
No.
What is the joke always? Like, if you don't have a quirky friend, then it's you? type thing. So maybe we're the quirkiest family. But I think that's also what makes things special, is those tiny idiosyncrasies, the tiny quirks, the tiny, you know, things that we all have that we can kind of come accustomed to. Because I think that especially in a marriage, in parenting, we're dealing with super individuals. You know, there's people, you know, you're different, I'm different. But somehow we gel together, we're family, we kind of come together, we can communicate, we can learn from each other. And so to me, I think quirkiness is something to be embraced. We have a lot of quirky friends. If you're listening, you know who you are. And we love you. But the thing is it's funny to call it, you know, it almost makes it sound like a negative. But to me, I think the differences that we can all address or see in each other are things to be embraced, you know, different cultures, different backgrounds, different upbringings. I've learned so much from different people that are, didn't have any life, anything like me, you know, and even the two of us being raised very differently. I feel like there's things that we've learned from each other. We've taught each other, even in raising a daughter together, you know, you learn about each other and the things that you would, you do as a parent, the things that I would want to do as a parent, and then really trying to find ways to meld those together. So to me, I love quirkiness. I love the sort of, you know, the funny word of that, of just being like, okay, I'm open to seeing all of you and seeing all of you and seeing how you grow and how I grow. And I'm thankful for the people who deal with my quirks and to deal with the idiosyncrasies and the things that make me me, because I know that it's not always easy, but I am blessed to be taken care of by two wonderful people. And then of course be known by many other wonderful people.
That's so sweet.
I appreciate you guys. This was fun.
This is so fun. Thank you guys for listening in and going along with this funny and crazy episode. Thank you, babe, for 16 years.
16 big years.
It's been amazing.
I've loved it.
Super, super crazy journey and very rewarding.
It's
been
fun.
You, Sage, for this last 12 years of being a part of this crazy, fun wild journey.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome anytime.
Anytime.
So thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. We love you guys. Happy anniversary, Danielle.
Thank you.
Anniversary, Sage.
Happy anniversary.
And happy anniversary to Connect Global. Thank you so much for being a part of this journey, being a part of our lives. We just look forward to the next time that we're together.
Bye. Bye.